Open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter. Luke chapter 15. I'm going to read the major portion of this chapter. You follow along with me as I read. Luke 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's pray. Father, how thankful we are today that we have the Word of God in our hands. We're thankful for so great a salvation that you have brought, your great mercy, your great long-suffering, your great provision for us. I pray that you would give me the freedom and ease to speak that only the Holy Spirit of God can give. That you would take your word and you would touch hearts and lives that hear my voice this day. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would just have your way, bring honor to your name, and have mercy upon those of us that listen. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The scribes and the Pharisees were having a real time criticizing Jesus. Their criticism was he eats with sinners. And this parable, and then we just get just about the whole chapter 15, has a tremendous message for it, and Jesus gives his reason for eating with sinners. I wonder if you and I have a good reason for not eating with sinners, because Jesus had some good reasons for eating with sinners. Now, these are favorite passages in the Bible. I mean, they are familiar. You know the song, the 99? Beautiful song somebody's written on the 99. Everybody knows about that. How about the prodigal son? Everybody's heard the story of the prodigal son, the wayward boy coming home. Somebody asked Brother Roloff one time, said, how do you preach the prodigal son? Is he a Christian coming back from being backslidden, or is he a lost man getting saved? Said, depends on who I'm preaching to. It'll work for both. It'll work for both. You know, we don't hear a whole lot about the lady that lost her coin. That's not preached on near as often as the other two. Maybe not as familiar or whatever. But the message in here is real clear. And the message is in all three. It was over 40 years ago. I was sitting in Blanket, Texas, in a trailer house in Blanket, Texas, going to college. And at the kitchen table, God touched my heart with this passage, and I just couldn't put it down. And I preached a message on it soon after and been preaching it forever since. And it's not always the same, but he touched my heart with the message that he's got right here. Have you noticed that for a shepherd, one found sheep means rejoicing? Yeah. A shepherd understand that. Here's a shepherd, he's got 99 in the fold, and there's one that hadn't come back, and he doesn't know where it is. On the way to church this morning, there were two of those pot-bellied pigs in the road. And I'm driving up to it, and that pig is just wiggling his tail. He thinks mama's coming for him. They're pets. They're pets like dogs. They love them, and they keep around. I don't know how they got out, but there's two of them out there on the road. I hope they don't get hit or whatever, or somebody's going to be crying because their little pig didn't come home. There were 99 sheep, and they were in the fold, and they were safe, but the shepherd's not satisfied with just 99. He counts them off, and he wonders, it might be like my neighbors. They name every one of their goats. Those goats are named. They've got 100 of them. Look like they'd run out of names after a while, you know. It gets bad selling Joe and Susie and George, you know, when you're going to the auction. That sometimes gets a little bit hard. 99 sheep in the fold, wouldn't anybody be satisfied with 99%? No, most shepherds aren't satisfied that way. They go out and look till they find that one sheep that is lost. We got a lost sheep and a concerned shepherd. And the second part of this parable, likewise, he says, there was a woman who had 10 pieces of silver. Now, he wasn't talking about pieces of silver like you and I are talking about pieces of silver. In fact, that's not even silver anymore. If you got any real silver ones, they're worth a whole lot more than what that is right in my hand. But back in these days, when you worked all day for a penny a day, if you had 10 pieces of silver, that was a pretty good little retirement you've got right there. She has 10 pieces of silver. She's a woman. She doesn't have the same privileges and opportunities that many men would have had even in her day. So she's depending upon this right here, and all of a sudden she can't find one. She has 10 pieces of silver, now she has 9. Why isn't she satisfied? I remember I was heading for Colorado Springs, and Berlin and I, we take off, and I'd gotten cash and had it in a money clip in my pocket. And I pulled up, we left out early in the morning, we ate breakfast about 6 or 6:30 in Junction. We pulled in there, and they got a nice little restaurant in Junction, sort of a truck stop thing, but they have good food. But they don't take checks. They don't take credit cards. I reached in my pocket to pay, and there was no money clip. Whoa, what am I going to do? Well, I had some more money in the car, but my money clip was gone. Now, somebody got a windfall, because I never did find that money clip. They got my money clip, and they got my money, too. I don't think anybody stole it. I think I lost it. I think somehow I, in my stupidity, lost it. But, well, it didn't wipe me out. It hurt me a little bit, but it didn't wipe me out. We still made the trip, and we still had something to eat. We could pay for it, but all of a sudden, I'm shocked. Where is my money? Can you imagine this woman who's depending upon this to sustain her, and she starts counting it, and she's just got 9 pieces. What happened to the 10th? 9 pieces. She started looking. She started hunting. She worried about that one piece. You see, for that one piece of silver was important enough to her that she was going to be concerned, and she was going to look, and she was going to be hurt if she didn't find it. And then what can I say about a family? I've got 5 kids. I love all of them. 10 grandchildren. Number 11 on the way. You love your kids. You can't get away from your kids. You think when you shove them out the door and make them make their own living, you get away from them. You don't get away from them. They come back to eat and bring a bunch with them. And they just keep growing. Try to get rid of them. Kick them out all you can. Boy, they just keep coming back. Here's a father. He's got 2 grown sons. His younger son comes to him and says, Dad, whatever portion comes to me, can I have it? Sure. Bible said he divided unto them. The elder son got all that was left. But he divided unto them his living. Okay, here it is. Wasn't long that boy had an itching foot. He had to run. He'd been sort of held back by Dad all these years, and his older brother all these years. He'd never been held back. Boy, I'm free. I'm grown. Boy, I hear some of these teenagers say that. I'm free, and I'm grown, and I don't have to answer to anybody anymore. That's funny. I'm free, and I'm grown. I'm still answering to people. I haven't got away from answering to people yet. If I go somewhere, I got to tell somebody where I go. Aren't you free and grown? Yeah, I'm free and grown. But I have obligations, man. I have responsibilities. I have relations, and there are people that depend upon me. I got to tell somebody where I'm going. I'm going to leave home. I'm tired of all these restraints. I'm going to live my life. I'll do better. Some of you think you can do better with your Social Security money than the government can. Most of you are going to end up starving. We're not all that good with money. Did you know that? We think we are, but we're not all that good with money. Most of it, lose most of it. Well, that's what he did.
You know, he was the life of the party for a while. He didn't have dad around. He didn't have his older brother. He didn't have any restraints. Nobody knew him where he was. He didn't have to worry about his reputation. He could live it up, and that's what he did. He headed off into the far country. He got about as far as he could get away. He wanted to be independent. He wanted to be free. He wanted to be different. And man, while his money lasted, he was the life of the party. Everybody loved him. I mean, all the girls wanted to date him. All the boys liked to be in his presence. Everywhere he went, people were happy. He was just living a wonderful life until his money ran out. You know the problem with that money? You got to keep making it. Isn't it an amazing thing? You just got to keep getting more. Isn't it amazing how you get holes in your pocket? And no matter how much you keep putting in, it just keeps going out, just keeps going out, just keeps going out. Well, he wasn't still putting any in. All was happening was it was going out. And all of a sudden, his friends were gone. They didn't lend him any money. They didn't invite him over to eat. They didn't take him out and party. And this guy is destitute. Here is a rich man's son, and he's feeding pigs. A rich man's son feeding pigs. And he sits there with those pigs. He looks at what they're eating, and it looked good to him. How far down are you? You ever gotten that far down that pig slop looks pretty good to you? Or maybe you haven't been down very far yet. This guy went down. You know, he's sitting there, and he begins to think, you know, the servants of my dad live better than this. The servants of my dad. Not his son. Well, I don't deserve to be called a son. I've taken everything away. I don't deserve to be called a son, but hey, I can work. I think I'll go home. I think I'll go home and tell Dad, I'm not worthy to be your son, but I'd like to be your servant. And he makes up his mind. The Bible said he came to himself. And you know, as he makes that decision and he heads home, and he starts walking down that trail to the big house, the dad walks out and sees it coming. And the old man runs and has compassion, falls on his neck, crying, rejoicing, weeping. And the boy said, Dad, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your servants. He doesn't even answer him. He calls to one of his servants and says, get a robe, the best robe, not these rags. Get the best robe. Get a ring. Put a ring on his hand. He's somebody important. Put a ring on his hand. Shoes on his feet. Hey, you know that calf we had out there fattening it up? Boy, we fed it just right, getting ready for butchering time. It's barbecue time. Get the pit ready. Slaughter that fatted calf. Make a party. Call the friends. Rejoice with me. Because my son was dead. He's alive again. And my son was lost. He's found. Do you see these three stories? All three of them have something important that was lost. All three of them find what was lost. And all three of them have a party. And verses 7 and verse 10 tell you the meaning of this whole chapter. Look at them with me, who will. Verse 7 says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And look at verse 10. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You know what the message is? The message is the gospel message that we have in this Bible, in the New Testament is, for God, one repenting sinner means rejoicing. God loves to see somebody come back to Him. You know, I've examined this a lot of ways as to how they were lost and what they lost, how they were found, and a lot of things like that. I'd like to just think just a minute what the lost are lost to. I have no doubt in a congregation this size I'm speaking to somebody that is lost. You know what it means to be lost? Lost means you're not found. Lost means you're not home. Lost means you're not where you ought to be. And lost means you're not where you want to be. And you know what? The world is divided up into saved and lost. That's a great big division. It's a very important division. You see, the Bible says there is a heaven and there is a hell. The Bible seems to indicate that hell's going to last as long as heaven and heaven's going to last as long as hell. The Bible doesn't tell me anything good about hell. Everything I read about hell is bad. Everything I read about heaven is good. The Bible says the saved go to heaven and the lost go to hell. That's sobering. The Bible also tells us there's a broad way that is wide and many people travel it. And there's a narrow way. It is narrow. It's straight. And there's only few people that find it. And it says the many of the world go down the broad way to destruction, and the few of the world find the narrow way that leads to life. If you're saved here today, you are in a very exclusive minority of people on the face of the earth. I wish it weren't so, but that's the fact. That's the fact. You're in a small minority of people if you're saved today. You've been found. You've come home to the Father. You've been saved. But let's just suppose that in this room this morning, you're lost. Maybe you're 10 or 12 or 15 years old and you've never trusted Christ. Maybe you're 35 or 40 and maybe you got a little bit of religion, but it never did you much good. Maybe you need to be born again. I had religion most of my life. I finally got born again when I was about 21. And when God saved my soul, He changed my life. Best thing ever happened to me was coming to God. If you're lost today, there's several things you're lost to, very clearly pointed out on this, and probably more than what I'll bring to you this morning. But that sheep was lost to the companionship and protection, the company of the fold. You know how that sheep got lost? By its own stupidity. Do you know what about that sheep? I'll tell you something about that sheep. It would have been in the fold if it could have found the way. It doesn't like being alone. It's very vulnerable. My wife had a little dog. I'll call it my wife's dog. Killed 13 lambs and 2 ewes. Cost me $680. Most expensive dog I've ever had, and I got it free. You know what? Sheep are vulnerable. Sheep are vulnerable. They can't really protect themselves. I have a cousin. He's probably 87 years old, something like that. Still alive, still kicking, still running goats. You know what he'll do for his goats and his sheep? He'll have him a herd, and he'll buy a young jackass and raise it with the goats or the sheep. And that jackass thinks he's a sheep. He thinks he's a goat. The only thing, he's a whole lot bigger than the other sheep. And he hates dogs. And when the dogs and the coyotes come after his sheep, they meet the jackass who thinks he's a sheep. You lose less sheep that way. Did you know that? I mean, you do lose less sheep that way. That's a pretty good investment just to let that jackass run out there, that donkey run out there with those sheep and those goats and think he's a sheep or a goat. Because he won't put up with a dog. He'll kick him into the next field. And you save your lambs like that. That lamb was lost because it didn't know the way into the fold. That lamb was lost because it was ignorant of how to get with the rest of the sheep. That lamb was lost because he didn't know the answer. And some of you sitting here today are lost because you don't know how to get saved. Oh, you got a burden in your heart. You got a pain in your heart. You recognize your own sin. You recognize your own failure. You recognize your own need. You sense your lostness, but you just don't know how to be saved. Let me tell you how to be saved. I don't want you walking out of here ignorant this morning. I don't want a single one of you walking out here without knowing what you need to do to be saved. There's a Savior that came. His name is Jesus Christ. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, this Bible says. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you recognize you're lost today, if you understand you're lost today, God is in this room. He says in His Word, where two or three are gathered together in My name, and that's the only name we lift up. He said, I'm there. On the promise of this Word, the Holy Spirit of God is in this room today. And if you will recognize yourself a sinner in need of a Savior, repent of your sins, say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, save my soul. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. He'll forgive your soul. He'll save you. Change your life today right where you sit. Don't be ignorant. Don't be foolish. Don't stay out away from God. What can protect you in this life? Big Daddy? Yeah, we think that sometimes, don't we? I enjoyed having a great Big Daddy. It was sort of nice. I figured I was protected. I had a Big Daddy. But you know, there's an awful lot of things my Big Daddy couldn't protect me from. Big Brother? There's a lot of things and a lot of times Big Brother can't protect you. Money? No, it's not a secure, safe haven. You know, the only place you can find protection, and that's God. Without the protecting hand of God, you're at the mercy of Satan. You're at the mercy of the world. You're at the mercy of sin. You're at the mercy of a whole lot of things out there that are bigger, stronger, tougher, meaner than you ever were. If you're lost today because you didn't know the way, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, what the Bible says. Right now, call upon Him by faith. Bible says every man has a measure of faith. Whatever measure you got, use it. You may not have big faith. Jesus said you don't have to have big faith. He said a little bitty faith move a mountain. Little bitty faith. That's all you need, is just use all of it and put it into it and put it in Jesus. Jesus is the only way. If you are trusting in some kind of works or religion, or you're being better than somebody down the road, you are sadly mistaken. There's no hope in being better than somebody else. You see, just because you're better than them doesn't mean you're good enough to face God. And that's a big mistake we make. Sort of nice to have a drunk on the same street you live on. Sort of makes you feel good about yourself. Well, I'm not like him. Oh yeah, we can build our pride up. Well, I'm not like him. Well, I don't do that. That still doesn't mean you're saved. That poor sheep was lost from the companionship and the protection and the blessing and the comfort of the fold. He needed to be home. He got lost because of its own ignorance, its own bent to wander, didn't know the way home. What about the coin? The coin is lost to usefulness. What good is a coin you can't spend? Some of you got money that is absolutely worthless to you because you're such a tightwad you won't spend it. You sit around and count it each night. Oh, boy. This belt's good enough. I don't need any new shoes. My wife doesn't need a dress. Oh, but I love my money. Oh, I love my money. Oh, I love my money. Some of you squeeze the nickel so tight the buffalo squeaks every time you spend it. Just an old tightwad. Just an old tightwad. Shame on you. You know what money's for? It's to spend. It's currency. It's currency. Now, I don't say you shouldn't save some. I don't say you shouldn't invest some. I don't say you shouldn't use it wisely. But let me tell you something. The only use for money is spending. That's what it's for. That money is lost to any usefulness to the woman that owns it. I don't know whether it was under the rug. I don't know whether it was an old pair of pants or an old coat that was left somewhere that where the coin got to. But it was still in her house and she couldn't spend it. It was still in her house and it didn't comfort her. It was still in her house, but she couldn't do anything with it. Didn't do her any good. Let me tell you something about you as a lost person. You're lost. You're worthless to your family. You're worthless to God Almighty. You're worthless even to yourself. What good are you as lost headed for hell? What good are you as lost just living in your sin? What good are you as lost away from God, away from the Spirit of God, away from the Word of God, away from the... Somebody caused it to be lost. It didn't get up and run off by itself. Not that lost coin. It didn't get up and run off because of its own will or whatever. It wasn't so ignorant, didn't know. It has no thinking, no mind. That coin was lost by the carelessness of somebody else. And some of you sitting in this room lost today, you may say, well, I had a bad father. Lots of people had bad fathers. Do you know that? Well, I had a sorry mother. She professed to be a Christian. She lived like the world. Lots of people have had sorry mothers. Yeah, my older brother used to pick on me. Maybe so. Maybe so. You may be stumbling over some hypocritical preacher. I may have done something sometime in my life and you're stumbling over me. Maybe you're stumbling over your neighbor. Maybe you're stumbling over your Sunday school teacher. Maybe somebody else has caused you to have the attitude you have towards God. That may be true. But even if it is true, you're still lost. Have you thought about that? No matter what your reason, hypocrites in the church, don't believe the Bible, don't like the preacher, don't like my mother or daddy, don't want to do what somebody else, whatever your reason is, I don't care who you're stumbling over, whether it's your Sunday school teacher or your next door neighbor or your school teacher or your friend or your husband or your wife or your mother, or your father, whoever you're blaming it on, whoever caused you to have a bad spirit towards God, you're still lost. You're still on the road to hell. Why preach on hell? I got saved because of hell, and most of you did too. People don't really get saved because they just love God. People are running from God most of their lives. I got saved when I realized I was a sinner headed for hell, and I thought, what a fool I'd be. And I sought God because He was seeking me. You see, my friend, even if you've got a good excuse for why you're bitter, even if you've got a good excuse for why you're angry at God, even if you've got a good excuse for your sin, even if you've got a good excuse for where you are today, and boy, the psychologists and psychiatrists and all the fellows that write all these psychological help books, oh, it's all your mother's fault. It's my mother's fault I'm fat. Definitely my mother's fault I'm fat. I was a skinny little boy, and she didn't like skinny little boys. She wanted a fat little boy, so it's my mother's fault I'm fat. If I didn't like something she'd cook me something else. That's what my mother would do. Oh, yeah. She wanted to fatten me up. Got my tonsils taken out. Started fattening me up. Yeah, it's my mother's fault. Had a fella tell me here a while back it was his daddy's fault. He was. I said, how long you been out away from daddy? 25 years? Oh, give me a break. Sooner or later, your tub has to sit on its own bottom. Do you know that? You ever figure that out? Sooner or later, you take responsibility for what you do. Maybe when you're 16 or 17, you can blame mom and daddy, but when you're 27 and 28, we got to blame you. Somewhere down the line, you have to take responsibility for your sin, your actions, your way, your thinking. If you're here and lost today, you may have somebody to blame. You've probably been mistreated. I doubt there is a person in this room who hasn't been mistreated. Anybody have a perfect daddy? Anybody have a perfect mother? Anybody ever meet a perfect preacher? Perfect Sunday school teacher? Perfect deacon? Perfect church? The minute you join it, you'd ruin it. Everybody's been mistreated. Everybody has an excuse for what they do. Everybody can say it's somebody else's fault. I am where I am. And even if you have a good legitimate reason, you're still lost. And God can't spend you. God can't use you. And you were made to be used by God. What's your purpose in life? A lot of young people run around looking for their purpose in life. Your purpose in life is to please God. God made you so that he could fill you and use you. That shepherd went out and hunted. And this woman, she swept her own house. You know, you might do well to sweep your own house, sweet people. Quit pointing fingers somewhere else. Why don't you sweep your own house? Why don't you look for the lost coins in your family? Why don't you look for those that are not being used in your family? Why don't you look in your own family, sweep it diligently, and find those that are lost there? Got two boys, both of them hardworking. Both of them loving. One of them says, I'm going off to the far country. And he got out there and he just let himself get off into sin. He probably didn't start out purposing to get down as bad as he got. Nobody does. But he went down pretty bad. He got down to the place that he was in the lowest place a Jewish boy could be, feeding pigs in a pig pen. They didn't even eat pork. They despised it. And here he is wanting to eat the same things they eat. He's lost, all right. What's he lost to? He's lost to forgiveness. You know how good forgiveness is? Forgiveness is good. You've been carrying grudges in your heart, or you've been got grudges against somebody else, or somebody's got grudges against you. Have you ever thought how really good it is to go say, forgive me? Oh, that's beautiful. I remember when I went to God and said, forgive me, and he took the weight off of my back of my sins. Woo, I floated. Forgiveness is good. I love. They write a lot about it. People get married, think they're going to live happily ever after. Preacher says, for better or for worse, I'll guarantee it'll get worse. That's a promise. Lead pipe cinch. It's going to get worse. Love. If you ever had love, you know there's nothing quite like it. Real love? Real love? My daddy loved me. My mother loved me. I knew no matter where I'd been or what I'd done, I could walk into that house and I was loved. That's beautiful. Here's that old boy sitting out in the pig pen of his sin. With the results of his actions, he's a living example of destruction. And he said, look at me. He came to himself. Some of you haven't come to yourself yet, but he came to himself. He said, look at me. My daddy's servants live better than I'm living. The ones that feed the animals in my daddy's house, they got a better home, they got more food, they got better clothes. My daddy treats his servants better than this. He came to himself and he repented. Repentance changed your mind. I'm tired of the pig pen. I'm tired of the cesspool. I'm tired of the garbage. I'm tired of my sin. And he turned around. And when he turned around, he headed towards his father. You see, when he was out there, he was lost from his father's forgiveness. His father would have forgiven him a long time ago, but he never went to him for it. He was lost to the love of God. That father loved him. That father would show the love upon him. That father would receive him back because he loved him. He's lost to the love. Forgiveness and love, do you realize how great that loss is? That's a tremendous loss. And if you're here lost today, there's forgiveness there, you just don't have it. Ah, there's a love beyond your understanding, but you don't have it. Why is this boy lost? Does he not know the way home? Oh, he knows the way home. Does he not know that his father will receive him? Oh, no, he is sure his father will receive him. Why is he where he is? His own stubborn will. Some of you are lost here this morning, not because you don't know the way, not because of somebody else, no excuse, you're just stubborn. My Bible says stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Stubborn. I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. That'd make me less a man. That'd make me less a woman. That'd make me have less fun. I'm not going to do the will of God. I'm afraid of the will of God. He might make me do something I wouldn't like. I don't want the will of God because I want my way. Somebody said one time, spell sin, S-I-N. Take the I out of sin, you don't have sin. That's the problem with sin. It's your stubborn will. Some of you this morning are right here, lost, because of your stubborn will. You know the way home. You need to come to yourself. You need to repent of what you are and where you are and come to the Father. Because the Father is waiting. You won't find the journey back so long as the journey away. Because, my dear friend, this morning, if you will turn to God, He'll meet you right there. Let me tell you what He'll do. You tell Him, Lord, I'm not worthy to be your son, but have mercy upon me. Make me a servant. He'll put a robe on you, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He'll dress you up in the best clothes anybody could ever wear. He'll put a ring on your hand and make you a prince and a king. Oh, He'll kill the fatted calf and you'll live in a continual feast. So help me, for 43 years, God has been giving me a continual. I was one of those that knew the way home. I wasn't ignorant. I knew the gospel. I knew God would save my soul if I'd repent. But I wanted to go my own way and do my own thing in my own time. And God broke in upon me, upon my consciousness, and said, you are on the way to hell, boy. And you need to be saved and forgiven. And I repented of my sins, called upon the Lord, and He changed my life. We had a party. Oh, yeah. The Bible tells me there was rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. You know who's in the presence of the angels of God? God Himself. I don't say the angels sang a chorus. That said there's rejoicing in their presence. Who's in their presence? Their faces do always behold Him. They're all looking in. He's the center of attention in heaven. I want you to know when I repented 43 years ago, there was a rejoicing in heaven. And I tell you what, He's not still rejoicing that much over me. I've been around a long time. He's probably used to me. I'm at home. But, oh, my friend, if you would today call on the Lord, ask Him to forgive your sins and save your soul and change your life and have mercy upon you and just take you back, you'd sit rejoicing up in heaven because He will receive you. That's the beautiful gospel story. He's not willing that any should perish. He said in Ezekiel 33, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that he turn from his wicked way and live. The very last part of the book, Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Would you drink from the water of life today? He'll save your soul and change your life. We're going to sing number 249, just as I am. Let's stand. This altar is open for anything, any decision you want to make. You're welcome to come and pray. Get yourself right with God. Do what you need to do. My friend, if you're here and lost today, come to Jesus Christ. Come here, get out on your knees, ask Him to forgive your sins and save your soul, and take Jesus as your Savior. He'll do it. Let's sing it. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes and just give me attention just 1 minute? I just hate to close this meeting down. I believe that God led me to preach this old message on these old stories because there was somebody here lost who needed to be saved. If you're lost here today, and you know you're lost, and God has spoken to your heart, would you say, pray for me, preacher? Would you raise your hand? Is there one? Yes, I see your hand. Put it down. Anyone else? Anyone else? Is there another? Yes, I see your hand. Is there another? I need the Lord, and the Lord spoke to me today. Is there another? Heavenly Father, oh, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and the change you can bring in people's lives. I pray especially for these two hands that were raised. I ask you, Lord, to save their souls and change their lives. Bring them to a place they'll accept you as their Savior. Help them to, by faith, step out and call upon you and trust you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the next verse? Third, fourth, or fifth? Which one? Fourth. Let's sing that fourth verse. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the great mercy you offer. We ask you to save souls and change lives. Bless your children. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Goodbye and God bless you.